Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So I've brought with me today, among other things, I've brought with me a backpack. And as we look at backpacks, as we think about backpacks, backpacks can represent many different things for us. When you see a backpack, you might be reminded of all the books that you have to put in it, students, and the books that you carry at school. And so maybe a backpack represents learning to you. Or maybe you're an outdoorsy person, you like to go hiking, and so maybe when you see a backpack, you think about all the different things you can put in your backpack to take with you hiking, and so the backpack represents hiking for you. Or maybe, for those of you that served in the military, maybe it reminds you of the packs that you carried with you, either in your training or when you were out in the field, and so a backpack represents those days in the service for you. But backpacks, they can represent a lot of different things. This morning, I want this backpack to represent our life. And so as we look at this, I want us to think about it as if this backpack is our life. And as we think about that, I want to ask the question, what are you filling your life with? Because here's the reality. You may not have a choice about the circumstances that you're in. You may not have a choice about what you're going through in this life, but you do have a choice of what you carry with you. So what are you filling your life with? And this is what I think is true all too often. We begin to fill our lives with complaints and negativity. And we think, man, this is what I don't like about my job. And so we start putting these things in. This is what I don't like about the car that I drive. This is what I don't like about my spouse, right? This is what I don't like about my coworkers. Maybe, man, this big one right here, this is what my child does that gets on my nerves, right? Palmer's putting them in. So we start filling our lives with all of these things that we're unhappy with and that we're complaining about. And we just put one thing in after another. And before we know it, our bag, our life becomes full of all of this complaining and negativity, and we begin to wonder, man, why does it feel like my life is just being weighed down? And it's heavy, and this bag is heavy right now, 30 pounds worth of rocks in here right now. And we carry this around with us every day, wherever we go, and we're like, man, my life is just so heavy. I feel like I'm weighed down every day, and we don't understand it, but we complain more and more, and we just keep piling these rocks into our bag. So we're in this series right now titled Thanks Living. As we're going through this series, we're looking at several different psalms, and we're talking about living a lifestyle of gratitude. And this is what I believe. As believers, I don't believe that we're called to fill our lives with complaints and negativity. I don't believe that we're called to fill our lives with all of these things that weigh us down. Instead, I believe that we are called to fill our lives with thanksgiving, that we are called to fill our lives with gratitude to the Lord. And so instead of filling our lives with complaints, man, we wake up and we say, God, I'm thankful that I'm alive today. Thank you, Lord, for the job that you have provided for me. It's not perfect, but thank you that, man, it puts food on the table. Thank you, Lord, for the groceries that I'm able to purchase. Maybe the bills have been a little bit higher, but thank you, Lord, that I'm not starving today. Thank you, Lord, for my spouse. Thank you, Lord. Even though we have disagreements at times, they love me and I love them. So thank you for my spouse. I know my kids, they're not perfect, right? They disobey at times. But thank you, Lord, for my children. Thank you for blessing me with them. Thank you for that boss that I have. Maybe they make my job difficult at times, but thank you, Lord, that I have a job. And so thank you for the boss that I have. And so instead of filling our life up with all of these negative things and complaints, we begin to fill our life up with gratitude. And sometimes the gratitude, it just starts spilling out, right? And so we just go with it. And so we fill our lives up with everything that we're thankful for. And before we know it, our life is filled to the max with gratitude. And what we find when our life is filled to the max with gratitude, man, it's a lot easier to carry. Gratitude is so much lighter to carry with us. Thanksgiving is so much lighter to carry with us than all of the complaining, all of the negativity. But also, when our lives are filled to the max with gratitude, now we don't have anywhere to put this complaining in. We don't have anywhere to fit this negativity in. We have filled our lives up with thanksgiving. So what are you filling your life with? Let's give it up for Palmer, everybody. Woo! All right, don't spill that gratitude out. As we look at our passage today, we're going to have yet another opportunity to fill our lives with gratitude, to fill our lives with thanksgiving. We're going to be reminded one more time that we can carry thanksgiving with us no matter where we go. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 95. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11 this morning. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 11. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you. Unlike the other psalms, this particular psalm does not have that little introduction right before verse 1. It doesn't tell us who the author of this psalm is. However, when we look to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 actually quotes Psalm 95, and Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the author of Psalms 95 is a familiar author to us. It is David who authored Psalm 95. Now, this is just a side note, but I think that this is an important side note for us to make, that this is why it's important to look at Scripture as a whole. This is why we don't just look at Scripture by itself. We look at Scripture as a whole because when we look at only parts of Scripture, we miss important things that God desires for us to know. So let me pause right here and say this. We aren't called to look at part of Scripture. We are called to look at all of it. And this is important to remember because I think all too often it can be very tempting for us to only focus on our favorite parts of Scripture. And we only go back to, time after time, we go back to the Scriptures that we like. But it's important for us to remember that not only our favorite verses, not only our favorite passages were inspired by God, but all of Scripture was inspired by God. All of Scripture is God-breathed. All of Scripture is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. So we aren't called to look at part of Scripture, we're called to look at all of it. Now that's not to say that we can't glean some things when we look at individual parts of Scripture. It's not to say that we can't learn some important truths when we look at individual parts of Scripture, but what I want you to realize is that we gain a fuller understanding of what God desires for us to know when we look at all of Scripture. I'll give you just an example real quick. John 3:16 is a very familiar verse, a verse that many of us know, maybe a favorite verse for many of us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." So we can look at that Scripture in and of itself, and we can learn some good truths from that Scripture. But when we pair that Scripture with
other parts of Scripture, when we pair it with Scriptures like Romans 10, 9 through 10, which says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. So when we look at John 3:16 by itself, we learn some important things, but when we look at John 3:16 paired with other parts of Scripture, what we learn is that God's not just calling us to mere belief of existence. God is calling us to a belief that results in the submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So let me say it again. We're not called to look at part of Scripture. We are called to look at all of it. And so by looking at all of Scripture, this is how we learn that David is the author of Psalm chapter 95. And what we're going to see as we look at Psalm 95 is that once again, David's heart and mouth are filled with thanksgiving. And in writing this psalm, David invites our lives to be filled with thanksgiving as well. So with that in mind, let's read Psalm chapter 95, verses 1 through 11. It says, come, let's shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let's enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout triumphantly to him in song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hand, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was disgusted with that generation. I said, they are people whose hearts go astray. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see there in the first half of verse 1. It says, come, let's shout joyfully to the Lord. And there's a few things that I want to point out in this verse, and I want to work somewhat backwards. So first, I want to point out the object of our worship. And the object of worship that we see is the Lord, God himself. And the word that we see used there as Lord, that's likely in all caps in your Bibles, it's the name of God himself, Yahweh. So the psalmist begins with a recognition of whom is worthy of all of our praises. And I want you to understand, he's not just referring to any God. He's not just looking up and referring to the man upstairs. He's not referring to Buddha, Muhammad, or Allah. No, by using the name Yahweh, which was the name that God gave to Moses in that burning bush, I am who I am, that's where we get that name Yahweh. The object of David's worship was the one true God. So let me pause right here and ask, who or what is the object of your worship? Who or what are you giving your worship over to? Are you giving your worship over to the things of this world? Are you giving your worship over to the celebrities, the current stars of today? Are you giving your worship over to yourself? Who or what are you giving your worship over to? Who or what is the object of your worship? Because like David, our worship is to be reserved for the one true God and for God alone. So Yahweh, the Lord, was the object of David's worship. Second, I want to point out the nature of David's worship. David doesn't just say, worship the Lord here in verse 1. No, he says, let's shout joyfully to the Lord. So for over a year, we had that building on Main Street up for sale. Really, for over 500 days, we had that building on Main Street up for sale. And we had already voted as a church that once that building sold, that we would use the funds from that the sale of that building to go towards the youth and children's building. And yet, for over a year, for over 500 days, that building just continued to sit there. And then we had an offer from the city to purchase that building, and we came here and we celebrated that Sunday morning, the fact that we had an offer from the city. But let me tell you, I was sitting in my office the day that I received the text message that everyone had signed on the dotted line, and it was finally finished. It was complete. And let me tell you, man, I felt like shouting in my office that day because I knew that it was finally done. Now, I want you to know, on this side of the cross, we have so much more to rejoice in, to celebrate, than simply the sale of a building. We have so much more to shout about than simply the signing of some documents. Understand, as believers, we get to celebrate the purchase of our salvation. We get to celebrate the finished work of the cross. And so, like David, we can say, let's shout joyfully to the Lord. So we see the object of worship, we see the nature of worship, but now I want to focus on the beginning part of that verse. The first word is come. Some of your translations may say, oh, come. But as we read that word come, or as we read that word, oh, come, we are reminded that this is an invitation, just like an invitation that you might receive in the mail for a birthday party or a wedding. You are invited to come to celebrate my birthday with me. You are invited to come and celebrate this wedding with us. With this word come, David is saying, you are invited to come and to experience the same gratitude that I am experiencing. You're invited to come and to practice this life of thanksgiving. And so today, as we look at this psalm, I would simply ask you or invite you, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you join David and many other believers throughout the ages in celebrating what the Lord has done? Won't you come to fill up your life with gratitude, to fill up your life with thanksgiving? Won't you come? And so now, as we continue to walk through this passage, I want you to see three reasons as to why we can be thankful to the Lord, as to why we can most assuredly shout for joy. First, we can be thankful for the Lord because He is our rock. Let's look at the second half of verse 1 now. It says, shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. We can be thankful for the Lord because He is our rock. Now, there are a couple of things that come to mind as we think about Christ being the rock of our salvation. First, we are reminded that Christ is our sure and steady foundation. So back when we lived up in Fort Worth, the house that we were living in was built in the 1980s, and so it had certainly seen its share of hot summers and dry grounds. And so after living in that house for about 10 years, I began to notice some cracks in the walls and some stair-stepping in the bricks outside. And if you're familiar with that, then you know that it means that we had some issues with our foundation. And so we had to bring in a foundation company to come and to fix our foundation. Listen, when it comes to our salvation, understand our salvation is sure and steady because it rests upon Christ. And because it rests upon Christ, we never have to worry about it shifting or crumbling beneath us. Rather, we can stand firm on our foundation because it is unmovable. Our salvation is unmovable in Christ. He is our rock. Our salvation is sure and steady because it rests upon Christ. So as we think about Christ being the rock of our salvation, we're reminded that Christ is our sure and steady foundation. Second, we're reminded that we are not the securers of our salvation. In other words, our salvation rests upon the work of Christ and not our own works, which I don't know about you, but that is extremely good news for me. I am very thankful that my salvation is not dependent upon myself, because this is what I know about myself. Kevin is weak. Kevin is imperfect. Kevin has messed up far too many times. In fact, I identify with Paul's words about himself when he says, I am the chief of sinners. That's how I feel about myself sometimes. I'm the chief of sinners. And so praise God that my salvation is not dependent upon me. How could it be? It could never be dependent upon me. And so we're reminded on this side of the cross, our salvation is secured by Jesus and Jesus alone. We are not the securers of our salvation. But I would ask you this morning, do you know that your salvation has been secured in Jesus? Or are you still trying to secure your own salvation? Are you still trying to work for your salvation? Are you still looking to other things to secure your salvation? Understand, a salvation secured in anything else is not secure at all. But a salvation secured in Jesus Christ is secured forever in Him. Let me say that again. A salvation secured in anything else is not secure at all, but a salvation secured in Jesus Christ is secured forever in Him. And so I would encourage you today, don't depend upon anything else to save you. Don't depend upon anything else to secure your salvation. Look to the Lord and look to the Lord alone. And when we know that our salvation has been secured by Jesus Christ, when we realize that we can simply rest in that salvation and we don't have to work for it, man, we can begin to live a life of thankfulness. We can practice gratitude every single day. So we can be thankful for the Lord because He is our rock. Second, we can be thankful for the Lord because He is the maker of all things. Let's look at verse 6 again. It says, come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. We can be thankful for the Lord because He is the Maker of all things. Now, really, going back up to verses 4 and 5, we're reminded that the depths of the earth were created by God. And yet, so were the highest peaks of every mountain. Both the sea and the dry land were created by God. Now, this is something that we learn all the way back in the book of Genesis, but it's good to be reminded of these truths once again, that this world didn't get here by accident, just like that youth and children's building over there on the corner didn't get there by accident. There was a builder. There was a maker of that building. And so as we look at the world around us, from the lowest low to the highest high, from the land that we stand on to the depths of the ocean where we can't even touch the bottom, it was all created by the Lord. Now that in and of itself should give us pause. That in and of itself is worthy to stand in awe of our Creator as we think about the works of His mighty hands. But I want you to understand, the same God that made all things also made you. The same God that made all things also made me. Let that sink in. That should give us pause as well. That should cause us to stand in awe as well, that the God who has created all things and the God who can create anything not only wanted to, but He chose to create you as well. Now, this should not cause us to puff up our chests and say, look how great I am that God chose to create me. But what it should cause us to do is to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, look how great He is that He chose to create me. So, hear it again, the same God that made all things also made you. But as we think about God being the maker of all things, we're also reminded that God is in control. The depths of the earth are in His hand. The mountain peaks are His. God is in control, which means even when your life seems like chaos, even when it seems like your life is completely out of control, you can still find rest because you know the one who is in control. God is in control. So we can be thankful for the Lord because he's our rock and because he's our maker. Finally, this morning, we can be thankful for the Lord because he is our great shepherd. Let's look at the first part of verse 7 again. It says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care." We can be thankful for the Lord because he is our great shepherd. So a few weeks ago, we had Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And if I haven't already done so, let me just say thank you to you for all of the appreciation that was shown, for the gifts, the cards, every way that you blessed my family. Let me just say that you have made me to feel like a great pastor. And let me also say that it is a great honor to pastor this church. I'm very thankful that God has called me to be a part of this church. And when I think about this church that God has called me to pastor, there's this sense that you belong to me and I belong to you. Now take that and multiply it by a million, and we get somewhat of an understanding of what David's words here in verse 7 mean. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. We belong to him, and he belongs to us. And I want you to understand, while you certainly have helped me to feel like I am a great pastor, like I am a great shepherd, I'm also a very, very aware that we have a greater shepherd. I'm very aware that for those who belong to him, we have a shepherd that is far better than any earthly shepherd. He cares for us. He watches over us. He tends to us. He protects us. We have a shepherd that is great. Everything an earthly shepherd might do, our God does it perfectly. And so the question that I have for you this morning is, do you belong to the Lord? Are you one of the sheep under his care? Or are you like a sheep without a shepherd? Are you like a sheep that has gone astray trying to find your way home? Do you belong to the Lord? And if you don't, then I would invite you to come to know him this morning. And as you come to know the Lord, then you're also invited to begin to fill up your life with gratitude that you might live a life of thankfulness every single day. We can be thankful for the Lord because he's our rock, because he's our maker, and because he is our great shepherd. Now, as we close, I want to take us back to the end of verse 7 and the start of verse 8. David said, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." As we have looked at God's word today, I want you to know you have heard God's voice. Not because I'm preaching. My voice is not God's voice, but you have heard God's voice because we have looked at God's word, and God's word is God's voice spoken to us. And so as we have looked at God's word, as you have heard God's voice today, you have a choice. God is calling you to respond. If you have never trusted in Christ as your Savior, God is calling you to respond. And today, you can either harden your hearts and reject the Lord, or today you can humble your hearts and you can receive the Lord. The choice is yours. But I would say to you today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you need to respond, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to the Lord today. And maybe you're here and you would say, "That's me. I've never surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. I've never put my hope and my faith in him and him alone." Maybe you're trying to work for your own salvation, but today you realize that the work is finished in Christ. if today you're ready to put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, then I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've already taken that step, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like Jay Casey did this morning. Listen, we don't believe that baptism saves us. We believe that Jesus saves us, but we do believe that God calls every single individual that has been saved by Him to take that next step of baptism. And so if you need to make that commitment today to be baptized, then I would invite you to respond as well. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that next step of baptism by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect with this church body, to be on mission with this church body. If God's calling you to become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, then I would invite you to respond as well. But maybe you're here today and you would say, today I recognize that I've been filling my life with all of these complaints, all of this negativity, and today I need to simply empty that out at the feet of Jesus so that I can fill my life back up, so that the Lord can fill my life back up with gratitude. If that's you, you can confess that to the Lord right where you're at. You can deal with God right where you're at, but if you need someone to pray with you, then I would invite you to come as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But whatever it is that God's doing in your heart this morning, don't harden your heart. Instead, respond to Him obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.